Blog Talk Radio.
At 12 o'clock, it's Talking Sports with Mike T. I'm your host, Mike Tramatozzi, here with you for the next half hour. We'll go over everything in the world of sports. Most importantly, the NBA season is in its pretty much its last breaths of the regular season. I believe the season, I don't think TNT has Thursday games. I think they have Tuesday games this week. I know for a fact they have Tuesday games. I don't think the NBA schedule goes into Thursday because that wouldn't give team that would be an unfair advantage to teams that have to play Thursday and then go into Friday or Saturday with the plus. Yeah, the regular season ends on Wednesday. Some games are more important than others on Wednesday. Obviously, I think Utah-Memphis is going to be huge. Memphis can't really move out of the 5 seed, and they can't get caught by Houston in the 6 seed. So it'll be interesting to see what Memphis does in that game against Utah on Wednesday, a game that if Utah beats Minnesota tonight is absolutely huge to them because they have to win their next 2 games and have the Lakers lose to Houston on Wednesday. Because Utah has the tiebreaker on the Lakers, but the Lakers, with their win last night against the Spurs, now are up by a game and a half. So with that game in hand tonight, Utah has to beat. If they don't beat Minnesota tonight, the season's over. The Lakers get the 8 seed, and I don't think they can. I don't believe they can catch Golden State for the 7 seed. The Lakers are going to be the 8 seed. Some big games tonight. You have obviously Utah, Minnesota. We talked about Houston, Phoenix, and San Antonio, Golden State. San Antonio is still trying to catch Oklahoma City, who's playing the Kings for that 1 seed out west. San Antonio game back. Golden State needs this win and a Houston loss to leapfrog Houston for the 6 seed. Interesting little thing. A lot of people saying the 6 seed has it better than the 7 seed because they get to play a hurt Nuggets team while the 7 seed has to play San Antonio. But as San Antonio has shown you in recent years, they're nothing of a sure thing in the playoffs. Last year was a little bit different. They rolled the first 2 rounds, then they lost to Oklahoma State. But the year before, they lost as a 1 seed in the first round to Memphis. So, you know, either one of those 2 teams, I think, gives a lot of problems to San Antonio. Houston more so than Golden State because with Ashik and Robinson, they give you a little bit of a more of a down low presence than David Lee does for Golden State. That being said, obviously both teams can score the basketball on anybody. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. For Golden State, obviously James Harden, and to a lesser extent Jeremy Lin, but mostly James Harden averaging 26 a game. He's the guy that makes that offense go for Houston. So outside of, let's see, in the Eastern Conference, really the only thing left in the Eastern Conference is who's playing the Nets and who's playing the Pacers. If the Bulls win out and they play Orlando and they play Washington, in Orlando and at home against the Wizards, they need to win out and have Atlanta either lose to tomorrow night against Toronto or Wednesday night against the Knicks. And then Chicago will get the 5 seed. And then the Hawks will get the 6 seed. 5 seed plays the Nets. 6 seed plays the Pacers. I don't think the Bulls are of the ilk that they care where they play. But I would think if you're anybody, you would want to play the Nets over the Pacers. I think the Nets are a better matchup, especially for the Bulls. That Pacers-Bulls matchup would be an absolute rock fight because they can't score. Neither team can score. You look at it yesterday, the Knicks with no big man and playing Solomon Jones, who they picked up off the street, and Chris Copeland at the 5, they held the Pacers to 80 points, and Roy Hibbert scored 4. That's unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. Forget maybe unacceptable. Completely unacceptable that a team that has big men like David West, who had a decent game, but Roy Hibbert can't score just 4 points. He can't do it. It's almost like early in the year, Roy Hibbert. I still feel like Roy Hibbert's maybe trying to show people that he was worth that max contract that he maybe wasn't worth, but you can't. That's unacceptable for a guy like Roy Hibbert, who was an all-star last year, to score 4 points, had 11 rebounds, but he had 5 fouls, and the Knicks didn't, like I said, the Knicks had one guy over 6'10 on the roster. 2, if you actually believe that Steve Novak's 6'10, which he's probably not. I bet you Solomon Jones isn't even 6'10. He may be 6'9, but it doesn't matter. Roy Hibbert's 7'2. And he just looked out of it. And the Pacers as a whole, 26 turnovers yesterday against the Knicks. The Knicks clinched the 2 seed, so these next 2 games are meaningless to them. Tonight against Charlotte, home against Atlanta on Wednesday, and then they will begin the playoffs on I believe it has to be Saturday against Boston because the Rangers are playing at 3:30 at the Garden on Sunday. So unless the NHL moves that game up to 1 o'clock and the Knicks do like an 8 o'clock Sunday night game, I don't see the NHL moving that game. Devils-Rangers, it's the final game of the season, so I doubt they would be moving that game. Playoff implications potentially. Who knows for the Devils? Probably not for the Devils, but they could, if it keeps up the way it's going, they could go a long way to keeping the Rangers out of the playoffs if they win that game. But, you know, between now and Saturday, that's a lot of games. So, I don't think that is going to be the case. Actually, I'm not even sure that's the end of the season. I think they play again in Newark to end the season. I'll double check that and see. But I know it's a big game one way or the other. Yeah, the 27th is the season. I thought it did. And they do. They play at the Garden again on Saturday the 27th. That's a Saturday game. So, like another NBC national game at 3 o'clock. So, they play this weekend and they play next weekend. So, Rangers Devils, 2 big games on the weekends. The Rangers aren't even playing the Devils. Wow. All right. Or are they? Sunday. It's a Sunday game. I looked at Saturday. Boy, this hockey schedule stinks with the lookout. Yeah, they play Sunday, the 21st. Well, they'll never get used to it. There's so many games, you don't even know where you're looking at anymore. But let's stay with the NBA playoffs, because that's more important than the hockey thing. Then we still have another week to talk about the end of the hockey season. Like I said, the Knicks don't have much to do these next 2 games except get people healthy. There's talk that Rasheed Wallace is going to play either tonight or Wednesday, but definitely be ready for the playoffs. Same with Kenyon Martin, Tyson Chandler, and even Marcus Camby, maybe. So that would mean that the Knicks are as healthy as they've probably been all season at absolutely the perfect time. And if those guys are healthy, which it looks like they are, I don't see any way that Boston can beat them because they can just smother you down low. And really, Boston only has really Kevin Garnett on one leg, Paul Pierce nicked up towards the end of the season. Read into it what you will. I don't know if it's really anything to be concerned about, but Paul Pierce has struggled against the Knicks this year outside of the first game to really get going and score the basketball. That's the one thing I would say if I'm a Boston fan. They can't seem to score against the Knicks. That first game with Rondo, they scored 100, or without Rondo actually, they scored 102 points. After that, 89, 85, and 86 points. They couldn't get over 90 points in any of the either 3 games against the Knicks. Tyson Chandler didn't play did he play in the second game? I don't think he did. I know he didn't play in the first game of the third game. I don't think he played in the fourth one either. He, actually, he, no, I don't think he did. No, they held him out, and I think his first game back was what game was it? Because I know the last game he played was in Oklahoma City, and he's been resting since then. But if Chandler's healthy, Kenyon Martin's healthy, they pretty much will. That'll eliminate Kevin Garnett from the series. So right then and there, I don't know. Like I said, if they can, if they can beat the, I think Chandler's first game is against Miami. He played Miami April 2nd, Atlanta April 3rd, April 5th against Milwaukee, and then April 7th against OKC. He hasn't played since. But the next time I really needed him, since he went out in that Denver game, they lost 2 to Portland, L.A., then they won 13, lost to Chicago, and won 2. So this has been perfect to allow Tyson Chandler to get healthy. Kenyon Martin is getting healthy. Rasheed Wallace, if he's healthy. Those three guys make their front court with Carmelo and Copeland really good. Really, really good. Pretty, pretty, pretty good. like I said, who cares what they, if they win, they lose. You're not going to see mixes of people for the next two games. You're not going to see Carmelo tonight. I don't think you're going to see Raymond Felton tonight. They may play a little bit against Atlanta, but they're going to go, you know, the unfortunate thing is they're so banged up that outside of James White and maybe Rasheed getting 10 minutes, you're going to see a ton of Solomon Jones. You're going to see a ton of James White. But you're going to have to play Novak a lot. You're going to have to play J.R. Smith some. And you're going to have to play Shumpert some. Now, whether you scale back their minutes, do you want to really run Jason Kidd 25, 30 minutes in this game? You may have to play J.R. Smith, you know, 25 minutes. You may need to play Kidd 20 minutes. You're going to need to play Prigioni a ton if you're resting Felton. But for the most part, the last couple games, the Knicks have been able to rest guys while playing, which is good. Carmelo didn't have to come in the fourth quarter at all yesterday, which is good. You're not going to see him tonight. And like I said, you may see him on Wednesday against the Hawks just to get a little tune-up for the Celtics on Saturday. Well, we kind of got to do previews, too, because by this point next week, there's not going to be any the playoffs are going to be started. So what kind of predictions would we really do if the series has already started? That seems kind of unfair to do. So let's do what we can now. You know, we'll just go off what the standings are now and whether they change. It's entirely possible that they will, especially in the Western Conference, where you can have Memphis. I don't think Memphis can get to the four because the Clippers have the tiebreaker with them. The Clippers, I know they have the tiebreaker. They play Tuesday, Wednesday against Portland and Sacramento. They're tied with at 54-26. Memphis. Well, I guess if they do, I guess if Memphis finishes with a better record, they're going to get the 4 seed, and the Clippers will be the 5 seed. Dallas and Utah. Again, that Dallas game, that Wednesday game against Utah. You know, the Clippers are going to be playing at the same time, so it'll be interesting to see how they play that game. You know, the big game was the game on Saturday that the Grizzlies lost to the Clippers. That would have allowed them to not really have to worry about that game on Wednesday, but now they're going to have to beat Utah on Wednesday. So that game actually does have some significance to the Grizzlies if they beat Dallas on Monday, tonight. If they beat Dallas tonight, then they would have a half-game lead. If the Clippers take care of business and beat Portland, again, the Clippers will leapfrog because of the tiebreaker. Then it comes down to that game on Wednesday. For the Grizzlies, I don't know. They're a pretty good road team, so I don't know if they really care that much about getting the 4 seed and have, you know, home court didn't do much for them last year against the Clippers. But the Clippers are a game back of Denver. for the 3 seed, which will be interesting because Denver finishes the season tonight against Milwaukee on the road and then Wednesday at Phoenix. I highly doubt Denver's going to lose those 2 games, so it may be a little bit much to do about nothing if you're a fan of the Clippers, because I just don't see Denver losing those games, which is crazy. If you look at the Western Conference, you're going to have definitely Oklahoma City at 60 wins, and you're going to have San Antonio that's going to get 59, maybe 60, but Popovich doesn't care about that. Denver's going to get to 57, and you're going to have the Clippers and Memphis that are going to have at least 55. That's a lot of wins for your 1 through 5 seeds. Compare that to the Eastern Conference. Only Indiana is the only other team that can get to 50 wins. The Heat are at 64. The Knicks are at 53. Indiana can get to 50. The best they can do is 51. Brooklyn can only get to 49. And then no one else can get above 46. So the Eastern Conference, in terms of wins, is a lot lower than the Western Conference. It's been that way all season. I think everybody with half a brain will tell you that the Western Conference has been the better conference this year in terms of quality teams. I mean, you look at Utah fighting for that 8 seed in the West. They'd be the 8 seed by 5 games over Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference. Same with the Lakers. The Lakers would actually be the 6 seed in the Eastern Conference. And both those teams are fighting for their lives to get into the playoffs. It'll be interesting with Kobe Bryant out what the Lakers do. Listen, I didn't think the Lakers, if they got in, were going to get out of the first round anyway. Without Kobe Bryant, I think Oklahoma City can just steamroll them in the playoffs. That's if the Lakers can get in. Like I said, they have that tough game against Houston, who's fighting for that 6 seed against Golden State. So they're going to come out and want to win that game, and the Lakers need it. Then again, if Utah loses tonight to Minnesota, it's all for naught. And the Lakers can just rest their, play their guys without the fear of having, to win a game and have somebody lose. So if you look at the way the playoffs are going to sit right now, Eastern Conference, the only team that's a lower seed that I think has a legitimate shot to win the series would be Chicago, either as the 6 or the 5. Right now they're slated to be the 6. I think they can beat Indiana. Like I said, that would be an absolute rock fight. And I think they can absolutely beat the Nets. Same thing. Both teams really struggle to score. The Nets are at 97 points a game. Bulls are at 93. Only 2 teams in the Eastern Conference over 100 points per game. That's the Knicks right at 100 and Heat at 102. Compare that to the Western Conference, where you've got 7 of the 8 playoff teams scoring over 100 points, including teams like Dallas, who's at 101, Sacramento's at 100.2. So there's a lot more scoring in the Western Conference. And that's been the case since a long time ago. The battles were always in the Eastern Conference in terms of defense, and the Knicks, the Pistons, the Bulls, the Heat, the Pacers. Western Conference always had the Barkley Suns and the Supersonics with Kemp and Payton and Houston and David Robinson. Golden State would run TMC. So they've been usually the conference that gets up and down and scores a lot more than they do in the Eastern Conference. But, like I said, in the Eastern Conference, the only team I think that's a low seed that can win their first-round series is Chicago. I don't think Atlanta can beat the Nets or Indiana. I really don't. Someone's going to really have to show me a way that Boston can beat the Knicks. As I lined out, they can't score against the Knicks. And if the Knicks have all their low post guys back, that just eliminates whatever percentage Kevin Garnett is going to be. He has barely played the last couple weeks of the season. He hasn't looked good when he's come back. So, they've been really, really average at best in these last 2 to 3 weeks, ever since that game against Miami where Jeff Green went off. And again, they're going to need something like that. But even if Jeff Green goes off for 30 plus. Like, he's done against the Knicks. The last game, I think he had 32 against the Knicks, 35 maybe. They still lost, and they only scored 80-something points. They didn't even crack 90, and they had a guy drop 30. So I don't see that Knicks-Celtics series going past 5, because I just think the Knicks are a better team. And you know, I want to talk about the mental makeup of the Celtics and how the veteran team that's been there. That's great, but the Knicks have players that have played in the finals as well. Maybe Carmelo Anthony and J.R. Smith and Raymond Felton haven't, but Jason Kidd has, Rasheed Wallace has, Kenyon Martin has, Tyson Chandler has. So your makeup of the Celtics have been there before. Plus, outside of Jason Terry, this is not the same Celtics. This is not a Celtics team that exactly has all this playoff experience. Courtney Lee's played in a finals. Jeff Green hasn't played in anything but a first round. He wasn't on OKC the last 2 years, but they've gotten to the Western Finals and the Finals. So he's only played in the playoffs 1 year, two with Boston. But they got bounced by Miami that year. Bradley didn't play. He might have played in the playoffs last year, but didn't obviously play too well. But outside of, okay, Bradley, I think Wilcox played a little bit for them. Maybe. But Bass last year, Pierce Garnett, Terry, Courtney Lee, and Bradley, those are the only guys that really have some sort of playoff experience. The rest of this team is really unproven in terms of high-level playoff action. You know, and Jason Terry has played terrible this year. So I think that argument that there's playoff experience and they know how to win and they'll be a tough out. Yeah, they may be a tough out, but I just don't see it being one of those up 3-2, the Knicks have to win game 6 in Boston. I don't see it. I just don't see it. Can Boston steal a game in New York? Anything's possible. Is it likely? I doubt it. The Knicks have been on a roll at home. They're 30-10 at home this year. Boston is 14-26 on the road. They're under 500 in the division. They couldn't even keep up scoring with the Nets, and the Nets can't score the other night. You know, Boston's 5-5 in their last 10 games. I know Doc Rivers doesn't care about the schedule and the amount of wins they have. He just wants to get his team ready for the playoffs. But what is the ceiling for this team? There's no Rondo, so they really have no playmaker on offense. Avery Bradley is not a point guard. As much as they want to play him at the point, he's not a point. He's fantastic defensively, but he's not good. And they're even giving up 97 points a game. The Knicks are only giving up 95. So the Knicks are better in all aspects. The Knicks should have no problems in this series with Boston. The Knicks should win in 5. I think Miami sweeps Milwaukee. As it stands right now, I think Chicago beats Indiana if Chicago stays at the 6. If not, I think Indiana beats Atlanta because they can just put Paul George on Josh Smith and Atlanta won't be able to really do anything. I don't think Brooklyn can beat Chicago, but the Nets can beat Atlanta. Both teams are a little more closer to the Nets than I think the Nets want to think. But that would then, if everything plays out, that would shape up Knicks, Bulls in the second round, which I know for some Knicks fans is a nightmare, and Heat, Nets in the second round, which is a nightmare for the Nets, because the Nets can't beat Miami, and they haven't really been close in any game. In the West, OKC Lakers, as it stands right now, I don't think OKC gets any fight from the Lakers or the Jazz. Houston and Golden State can give San Antonio a problem, whichever one faces them in the 7 seed. As of right now, it's Golden State. I just don't know if David Lee can really bang bodies down low with Tim Duncan, who's played really well as of late. He played really well last night against the Lakers. But the health of the Spurs is a big issue. Either one of those series, I think, can go 6 or 7. But if that's the case, none of those two teams, Utah, Golden State, or Houston, have that kind of experience that the Spurs have. I think in tight situations, kind of like the Lakers last year with the Nuggets in Game 7, you know, the Lakers just have that experience to get past you and make plays in a game that matters. 4-5, Clippers-Memphis would be a rematch of last year. As of right now, it would be in L.A. to start the series instead of in Memphis last year, where Memphis blew that huge fourth quarter lead in the first game, and that pretty much set the tone for the rest of the series. It went 7, but that series, that game probably really took a lot of spark out of the Grizzlies. They're like mirror images of each other. They both have big bodies down low. They play really good defense. I think Memphis plays a little bit better defense than the Clippers. The problem is who does Memphis go to at the end of games? Is it Mike Conley? Is it Jared Bayless? Is it Zach Randolph? You know that Chris Paul is getting the ball, maybe Jamal Crawford, but Chris Paul is going to have that ball in his hands at all points to the Clippers. Another series that I think can go 6-7. Again, Game 7 would be in L.A. if this series holds out and all the standings hold true. So I would expect the Clippers to win a Game 7 at home. Denver, as much as people want to say that they're hurt and they're playing and that no Gallinari is going to hurt them and they're more attractive to play, I get that, but they're also 37-3 at home. And if you get into a shootout with them, you're not going to win. They give up a lot of points, but so does Houston, who they'd be playing right now. I just don't think if 4 games of those 7 are going to be in Denver, and Denver's lost 3 home games all year, you're now telling me that you're going to have to win one of them. More than likely, you're going to have to win 2. Because as good as Houston is at home, 29-12, I'm not sure that they're really one of those lock it up at home, we're going to win all 3 home games. Even if teams only win the home games, that's 4 home games for Denver. I don't think Houston, with their sub-500 road record, even worse than Denver's road record, which is 18-22, Houston 16-23. Nobody has a worse record. Oh my God! Look at Utah's going to get into the playoffs with a 12-27 road record. Good Lord! 30-11 at home, but 12-27. If you won 5 of those games, they got 17 road wins. You're still egregiously under 500. And you'd be like, you'd probably be the 6th seed right now. That's crazy if you're the Jazz. You have nobody to blame but yourself for this spot. You were up comfortably in the playoffs. I think they actually got as high as 6, and now they're fighting for their lives. But listen, they had their chances, and you can't have a 12-27 road record. They're lucky they're even in contention right now with a 12-27 road record. So, as we wind this up, like I said, not too much I think is going to happen that's going to be shocking in the Eastern Conference in the first round. I think the higher seeds are going to win. I think Chicago can give real trouble to the 3 and 4 if I were to pick a team lower than 5 to win. Lower than 4 of the lower seeds, Chicago has the best chance, I think. I give Milwaukee no shot to beat Miami. I give Boston 5% chance to beat the Knicks. Even that, I think, is pushing it based on how Boston and the Knicks have played in the last month and a half of the season. So, in the West, I think San Antonio's in some real issues if they don't get people healthy. But outside of that, I think status quo for the higher seeds as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the NBA ends their season, where the seeds get locked in. And then on Saturday and Sunday, the playoffs will be back, and we'll be here next week to talk about it all. So everybody enjoy your week, and we'll see everybody right back here next time. Take care.